Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Apples to Apples.
Hey, when you start, let me know when we officially start, because I got to get something off my chest.
Well, do you want to? I was going to introduce our special guest.
We have a special guest?
Yeah.
Well, how would I have known that?
Well,
where was I? Was I not at the meeting?
You're intimately involved with the special guest. Our special guest this week is, I don't know if you can even call him the world's biggest, or that's probably a little insensitive, but that's the word I'm going to use. The world's biggest Mets fan, and also the world's most negative Mets fan, Frank the Tank.
Is he on the show?
You know what?
Can I tell you something funny about, first of all, as you know, I listen to my Fox. I mean, I don't know how to say it, so I'm gonna have to give them some airtime. Fox Sports Radio. I listen to them at night.
I think you have to worry about them coming for royalties. Don't worry about it.
No, I just don't want them to get free advertising on our hot show. Sure. But anyways, I'm listening last night to the Jason Smith Show. That's on from 9 to 1 a.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. Frank the Tank. They had Frank the Tank on. It was the strangest interview I've ever heard in my life. I didn't think he would ever talk to anyone other than Barstool. The strangest conversation you've ever heard.
Isn't he on our show?
Is he coming on? Oh,
well,
Frank,
I figure,
are you there?
At some point, you're going to probably just sound like him. So I figure that was...
Oh, and that's what I want to get off my chest.
Should we call him Dad the Tank? Scott the Tank?
I've got a bone to pick with you.
As much as I joke about Dad being incredibly negative and even when there are good things going on with our teams
going on,
that's fine. He can't even wash Frank's it probably doesn't even wear a jock strap, whatever's much bigger than that. He can't even wash Frank's
I am biting my necklace right now, but I have a bone to pick with you.
When it comes to how absolutely incredibly, anyways, the joke of all of this for those following along at home is I a couple weeks ago, when the Mets, they end up winning a game by like 7, and Frank, like the second inning, said the season was over. I sent it and I said, this is Dad. And we've all, I think, collectively agreed he's your spirit animal.
He's my
now,
spirit
like
animal.
I said,
I'll own that.
Negativity. Here's why I don't think you could ever get to Frank's level, and then maybe Sam, you can chime in and your thoughts. You're too smart, and I hate to admit that, but like, you at least understand when they're, you know, if they were genuinely good and things were going good, but you were just disappointed, you will admit that. He literally thinks these teams are like personally out to get him, I think. And I actually don't even know the Mets record. I should have pulled it up ahead of time.
I don't think it's good.
They're 12-7.
Oh, then it's better.
They're 12-7. That's a game better than the Twins. And Frank, you would lead you to believe they're 1-18 or whatever that math is. I had no idea. To your point, I thought they were bad because of Frank.
I did too, to be honest with you, because I don't really follow the Mets. But when the time's appropriate, I've got a bone to pick with you and Coach Brian Myers, because you're all on the same page, and I'm going to set you guys straight once and for all. And I want to hear what the Orchard has to say.
Well, I have a bone to pick with you too, so.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll let you guys pick your bones first.
Okay.
Well, mine isn't that important, so I'll let you go first.
Well, I'd like to hear yours. And by the way, I got no credit for saying we were going to lose 7-1. I didn't know we'd score 3 goals, though.
Well, I also said we would.
You did credit for that. No, you were wrong.
I was right.
They lost 7-3, not 7-1. You said they're going to lose 7-1. They lost 7-3.
Well, by the way, I said the Wild, before the game started, I said the Wild will lose by 5 with this lineup. So in theory, I was more correct than you. And I said Stars minus 1.5 was the easiest money ever. So I think
I had that covered.
So give me. But how often does an NHL team score 7 goals? That wasn't the point. But what's your bone to pick with me?
But I think to be fair, in very Frank the Tank fashion, you say that just about every game, so it's bound to be right at some point.
I didn't say that about game one.
Because they scored two.
I don't watch. Can I explain something to you? I haven't watched 1 second of one game.
I knew you had. Well, I am like physically exhausted. We'll get to that at some point. But anyways,
no, I haven't watched any of it. So
you and Dad, I don't. Sam
What's
was
your
off
bone
by
to pick, Sam?
Well,
one goal,
first,
Dad. You're off by two, I guess.
First, I'd like to make a massive congratulations. I don't know if you saw the. On social media, it was break sweeping the social media world on the storm.
I just got
phrases.
Home. I don't know anything.
This was posted yesterday, but the Santa Clara basketball team posted on Instagram. The caption was "Putting in the work in the classroom!" Exclamation point. Oh. Winner turn team GPA. Take a guess of what their winner turn GPA is that they were actively promoting it on Twitter, Instagram, all their social media, and I'd like to congratulate them for this.
2.8 3-1
Split the difference, 2.98. A sub 3 GPA we're promoting it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I'd like to give them a huge congratulations for that, and the comments are pretty funny, too.
And people that tout that mean they suck in the actual sport, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, there's some pretty funny comments that was like, that's still a better field goal percentage than our team shot in the NIT. So
I have two quick thoughts on that. One, I would have probably just rounded it to 3. Like I don't
like anyone's gonna care. Yeah, you're right.
Right. And two, the whole if they have to tout that doesn't mean, you know, that normally means they're not good on the court. Normally, if you're that, well, I should say that bad. Normally, if you're not that good in school, that should at least equate to some on court success. Right. You'd like to have one or the other. It sounds like though it's and listen, I'm pot calling kettle black here when it comes to. My basketball team, but it sounds like it's just kind of mediocrity across the board. 2.98 yeah. NIT first round loss,
like 3 straight years, but yeah.
Yeah, well,
that's and that relates
4 times as many wins as Georgia.
And that's a segue to the bone to pick I have to pick with Dad, because last time we did this show, we were breaking news that Santa Clara was a finalist for a top women's basketball recruit, and Dad did a horrible job recruiting that girl. And
how is it my fault?
She now chose Marquette over Santa Clara, which is 80 and sunny every day. Would have been perfect for a 5th year. Instead, she's going to freezing Marquette.
I can tell you her third choice if you want.
I hope it wasn't what?
Colorado State.
Okay, well, at least we beat. I didn't even know if we beat them out.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, well, that's good. I don't think
she probably just told you that to.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I think she was.
But if it makes you feel any better, Dad always rips on the Gophers, but not being able to recruit better than like Iowa or whatever. Santa Clara can't recruit better than Marquette, so I don't really know.
Marquette's. I have no idea if they're good.
I am baffled.
I was gonna say they're a basketball powerhouse. No idea if they're women's.
Santa Clara should be good in every sport. There's zero reason why not to go there. So, I am a little. I get the coaching probably.
So if.
I think no offense to the WCC, but I do think like conference plays a lot into things. People want to no offense to the rest of the WCC, but Santa Clara is your third or fourth best team consistently. Like again, no offense to the conference or Santa Clara, but like most people that want to play at the highest level want to play against the best teams that will help get them to the next level. It's about exposure as much as anything. Because
well,
if it was just about good weather, like the Florida, Texas teams would be the only, and California teams would be the only good ones. Like it's obviously more than that.
Well, we'll see if.
Not that I'm breaking news on that, but I think
this person and her dad, her dad might listen to the show, and he's now made an enemy out of me, and I will not be donating any money to the school.
I genuinely, by the way, have no idea what you're talking
about. And I hope he listens to this. Maybe we can clip it and send it to him. I will not be donating any money to the school or giving the school my. Phone number that they keep asking about, and
yeah, that's the most bizarre
we'll see if
thing.
She makes it to the league, and this is all worth it.
That's not even the school that wants.
Also,
that
it sounds like again, I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know who you're talking about. It sounds like she's closer to home, which you know that factors in for some people.
Yeah,
well,
no,
she
I
went
think
far that, away from home to begin with. So,
I think it was more about the Big East. That's what the conversation I had was.
I Listen, I don't even know what you're talking about, and I said that. I know what I'm talking about once in a while. Very rarely do I know what I'm talking about, but it sounds like
I would agree. Oh my God, the Kraken are up.
Are they really? They're up again? Wow.
Yep, 1-0.
Can you imagine? Well, good luck to whoever that is. Marquette's. I know a lot of people from Marquette.
From the school great people. Or that go to school there?
None of them currently go. They're graduates. I'm a bit old to know.
I don't know if you said you knew a lot of people from Marquette, so I didn't know if you just meant like Marquette, Michigan, or
Marquette's in Wisconsin.
No, but the school. Never mind. Not the school. Mm-hmm. Not the school. The state. There's a city called Marquette. Never mind. It's all good. Okay. In the hood.
But Dan, let's hear your bone to pick.
So I'm getting a little tired. And I want the orchard to listen to me. I'm getting sick and tired of being told I'm negative. I'm going to say this for the 1,000,000th time. If you say something and it's true, not based on opinion, if what I say is true, but it happens to be negative, it's still the truth. It's not being negative. So
I thought you were done.
No, so for you and him and Brian Myers and anyone
else.
Him
as if I know who you're talking about.
Sam.
Oh, well, why wouldn't you say it? It's not like we're together. I can't see you pointing at him.
Okay. Well, sometimes Sam likes to go by a pronoun. So.
Well, are you sure that's the right pronoun?
No, I'm not. But that's why I just said it. I don't know the proper. You know, I'm not good with that stuff.
Yeah, no, I know.
I have a car that I can't even drive. So continue.
That's a true fact for everybody. Actually, that's not true. The I'm only thing you can do is drive.
I'm at 80% capacity right now. I figured a few new things.
Okay. My dad, for the listeners at home that may have not lived with him, which is most of our listeners.
Yeah, I would say I haven't lived with a lot of people out there, but
he has.
I'm open to. There's no one here.
A brand new 2022 car. Looks very nice. I've only seen pictures. He also has the most expensive phone on the market. And all he can do with those two things is drive it and make a phone call.
Right.
And I think that's all you sort of need to know about the negative thing.
I know the other person that lives with Dad doesn't listen to the show, so I can say this. That person does data analytics for work, and she called me the other day and asked me how to, one, screenshot on a cell phone, and two, how to send that screenshot to herself.
Good information to know.
And I will three, use that. Once she put in her name she put in the wrong name to send it to her once I walked her through it, she asked me how to delete her name.
I'm going to use that information.
It's all in her own phone?
On Dad's phone.
Got it. Oh, that's why she called. Why would she call you?
No, maybe she was awake at 9 p.m. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
But maybe the technology in advances is contagious.
It definitely is. I think if the working world has taught me anything, and Sam, you'll come to realize this, the older generation is incredibly savvy and intelligent when it comes to exactly what their job is. The second you bring them outside of that technological box, it doesn't matter. It's as if they've never seen it in their life. So I have no doubt. Like,
well,
she talks about stuff sometimes. I'm like, that's a different language. And then at the same time, she's like, how do I take a screenshot? You know, it's like the second you color outside the lines, if you will, it's like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, I kept my car 12 years because I didn't want to have to learn new things. And I keep my phone. I don't go to iPhone because I can't.
Not telling you to go to the iPhone. The phone you have is more expensive.
I know. I just can't figure. But can I tell you guys in the last 3 days some of the stuff I've learned?
Yes, and then we will comment on your negativity, and then we will move on.
Yeah, because I want to get back to that. Today I learned how to use my auto wipers. I didn't know. I couldn't figure out how to turn those on.
those aren't just on. Like, that car is not new enough. It's not just automatically on.
No, I had to set it to something. I didn't even know how to turn the wipers on, period.
Well, it does kind of defeat the purpose. If they're automatic, they should just be automatically on.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I don't disagree. Learned that.
Well,
you
should sue Range Rover for that.
I did learn how to... then I also was able to hook the app up and get set up where now I can use the remote control to start the car, which I'm way ahead of the game because it took me out of 12 years, it took me 11 to realize I had that on my old car. Remember when the valet guy did it? And I'm like, what did you just do? He goes, I started your car. You didn't know you had that. He goes, how long have you had your car? I said 11 years. So,
well, in your defense, valet guy's seen a thing or two when it comes to cars.
Apparently, in my cars.
Well, and also, what's weird though is dad valets everywhere he goes.
That's true.
The park. In his defense, he tips them well, especially when he wins at the casino. How many valet guys do you think you've had? 1,000, and none of them ever figured that out? Except this guy?
I'd say well over. True. Let me back up to the very first thing I learned on the car. After a half an hour, I learned how to put it in reverse and get out of the garage. That was 30 minutes it took me.
Oh yeah, because it's not a gear shift.
No,
right?
I can't even put it through the garage. No,
door to get to the house.
I couldn't put it through the garage because I couldn't get it in reverse. It didn't matter if the door was closed. I was going nowhere.
No, I mean, it's nice you didn't go forward into the kitchen.
I couldn't put it in. I couldn't go forward. I didn't drive the car home. Mom did, because I was fried from baseball.
I can't tell you how confusing the conversation I had was. Dad was like, I got a new car. Whatever. He called me about something, and then might have even been the show. And then, goes on and on about his car, and I'm just like, well, and I'm asking questions. He goes, I don't know. I haven't been in it.
Yeah, like, I got a car.
Where are you? Where are you right now? You just left the lot. Like, he's like, I'm not driving. Mom's driving it. I'm like, then what are you? Where are you? And so they took two cars to the.
Oh, I came from baseball. I showed up.
Yeah.
It made sense why you had to, but they took two cars to the dealership and therefore left with two cars. And for some reason, Dad did not drive his own car
because
he was dusty from baseball. So I'm like, so you literally just bought a car without ever. Stepping foot in it, and he was like, not that specific one, no.
As a follow-up, he called me to tell he got a new car, but he was so excited, not about his new car. It ended up just him telling me for 5 minutes how he wore baseball pants to the dealership and how embarrassed he was, and then how excited, though, that they were size medium baseball pants that he could show off.
What did she ask you if they were? Golf
she
pants?
She goes, the lady was walking out of the door because the place was empty now because they were closing except for the salesperson and the finance lady. And the lady that opened the door goes, oh, you must be. She goes, oh, did you play golf today? And I go, ma'am, these are baseball pants.
By the way, any normal person would have just been like, yep, I did. And moved on with life and not had to explain why he was there in baseball.
Well, I was trying to teach her something. I didn't want her going on her day thinking or night. And she goes, oh, I bet you're waiting for your wife. She's right over there. She's literally the only person in the building other than the other two people. And I go, no, these are baseball pants. She goes, oh. I said, I know I shouldn't be wearing them, but I don't have a choice. But let's just recap. We bought the car and I had never stepped foot in the car. Ever until the next day.
But you had stepped foot in a similar car, correct?
No. No. The night before, we found a car we wanted. By the time we were able to get there, they had sold it out from under us.
I thought you were still able to test drive the other.
Absolutely not.
I did not get the clear story.
No.
Okay.
No, I never. So we never made it out there because by the time I got home from baseball, the next day the guy. The guy emailed mom that, hey, we found this one. Would you like to take a look at it? And I was on my way to baseball, and she's like, I better go out there because it could happen again. Mom drove it, took my car with her, or picked my car up at the baseball field, actually. I saw it drive off, said goodbye just in case, because from the dugout. And I never drove it. And I went out and looked at it. The guy showed it to me. He goes, oh, here's your car. I'm like, oh, cool. I was exhausted. It was like 95 out, and then 2 days later it snowed, but that's beside the point. And I said, you know what? I have no idea how to drive this thing. Why don't you drive it home? And the next time I got in it was the next morning, and it took me 30 minutes to put it in reverse to get out of the garage. That was how it started.
And are you happy with the car, though?
From what I know. So here's where I'm at, and then we'll move on to
Have you named it yet?
No. I'm open to suggestions. The car's very nice. I believe I'm at 70 to 80% capacity. I can now call people from it. I've got some functions. I had Coach Myers did help me with a couple functions. Mom helped me with a couple others. But I realized something, and then I think you guys are actually going to agree with me. I think I'll only ever be at 90% capacity, because there's going to be 10% of stuff that I don't know that I don't know. Correct? Like right now, I feel like I'll only ever get to 85 or 90% capacity, because there's always going to be stuff that I don't know that I should know. Like, I don't know what else I don't know right now, because they were supposed to give me a lesson. And they could never get me in to give me this lesson, which I'm not real thrilled with the place, actually, by the way. But so I never got my lesson. So I'm not sure what I'm missing, but I think I got enough information to probably drive it for 12 years. And maybe year 11, I will find out the stuff that I never knew about.
Well, at least, you know, you're starting off on a strong note with the remote start. So.
Well, I got the satellite radio to work, and I got more channels than I did in my other car. So I do feel like I'm a few steps ahead. I came with the first aid kit that was used. I don't know if that's a good sign or not. I opened it up. I opened it up, and there was like a old Band-Aid. It was interesting. So I think you guys will enjoy it. It's pretty cool looking. I'm very popular now at school. Even I can't tell anyone I don't know how to drive it much, but. It's all good.
Well, I'm sure that there's probably a lot nicer cars though at the school.
Oh my God, I know. That is very true. It's not very nice compared to a lot of them there. And then So I don't know. I'm hoping the first time I try the cruise control it works, because that's pending. That's a pending transaction right now. Cruise control. So yeah, those are my issues.
I don't like cruise control.
What?
Neither here nor there. I'm not a big cruise control guy.
You know what? This one that my old car had it too, which you guys know. What are they called? The adaptive cruise control, where it literally stops. At what is it? Adaptive.
Adaptive, not adaptive.
Yeah. What did I say? Adaptive. Yeah, I don't know. My lips are dry. Both my old one and this one this one allegedly has it. I haven't really figured that out yet.
Well, you got to find out.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll have your opportunity at some point.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the car saga. Hopefully next week I'm at, you know, a little higher up.
How did we get to the car thing?
I don't know.
So
but this negative not, thing. I want to know.
So there are plenty of times you're right. I also think there's plenty of times you're wrong. Why I say you're negative, and you can dispute this, but and then I'll let Sam go, and I'm sure Coach Myers has his own thoughts.
I completely
is that
disagree. You just told me to dispute it. Go ahead.
Okay. I know you were disagreeing that you were wrong sometimes, but okay. I know you're not going to agree with that.
Kraken, 2-0.
Even when there are positives, you don't, like, how do I put this? You don't acknowledge when there are good things happening. You are only like the bad or the negative will always outdo the positives.
Yeah, I agree.
For example, you will text us about every single time for the next 140 baseball games, whatever we have left, that you noticed the Twins doing something bad.
I
do not believe once in that 140 game span will you say anything about them doing well.
They suck. We're going to get to them because I've got questions. Have I texted anything negative about the
Twins? And I'm not saying, and listen,
it's not even, it's like low hanging fruit. I don't even have to.
I understand the crux of much of what it's a short but complicated word for you, I know, but I understand I get the crux but of many crux. Of your thoughts and arguments are
John Crux.
It does none of it matters because they're never going to win the whole thing, which is fine. And we've had we have had this discussion. We have a differing view on enjoying sports. There's a lot more than just winning the championship. I watch most of the games, if not as many as I can. So if I only cared about those games at the end, then why would I watch all the other ones and enjoy and care if they win or lose? I consume sports perhaps a bit differently than you at this point.
Oh, and I don't want to consume it naked. At all.
Well, that's a part of it.
Can I explain something to your point? When I was your age, I watched sports. I'm done.
I'm not saying I'm going to be the same person forever.
Not. Trust me, you're not.
But my only point is I only say you're negative. First off, I don't like.
Well, I am negative, but it's the truth. But continue.
Also plenty of times you're negative and it turns out to be wrong.
When?
I don't keep a running tally of it and rub it in your face. I should start. But it's not even that. It's that you never acknowledge anything positive with the team.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to figure
out
something.
That's why I say you're negative.
Explain.
There are good things happening with most teams, except for maybe the
Leafs. Minnesota?
Yes. Listen, they have. We'll get to teams in a second.
I mean, your definition.
The Twins are first in the division, 3 or 4 games over 500.
That means nothing to me.
Okay, then I don't even need to go further, because that's my point. I think that's my point.
The Twins have...
If it was flipped, you would care. If they were 7-15, you would care.
But guess what? They were 9 games in first
place. You would talk about it.
They were 9 games in first place last year, and we know how it ended. It's the same way.
Point is, like, you're actually helping my point of why I call you negative.
Really?
Because, like, yes, because
I'm
in
positive.
3 months, 4 months, we may be having a different conversation, but there are good things to talk about.
I understand your point.
You don't like to talk about them because you just assume that it's going to go bad. And the best part of the whole thing is if it goes bad, why this is so great of a stance for you to take is if it goes bad, you can just say, I knew it.
Not
and if
if
it
when.
Doesn't go bad and somehow goes well, then you
it
get
doesn't.
To be happy. Because
But it doesn't.
I'm just saying. Right now, we have a team in first place in our division, and we have two teams in the playoffs.
We have a team that employs this Pagan guy for the second year in a row. Ridiculous, but continue.
Fine,
he'd
go in the game in the third inning on no warm up because Maeda took a line drive off the ankle.
Why put him?
He'd only let up 4 hits all year. This is what I'm saying. You don't like. You just see the name and what he did.
His ERA is like nine. How is he?
Because he let up 7 runs today. He only let up 4 hits all year.
I got a newsflash. His ERA was 7.4 today.
I don't know how you can defend that guy,
but that's okay.
First off, it's not possible for it to have been 7 before today.
I think it was. Look it up. Sam will defend me.
I don't think he's very good.
His ERA was 7. Like sub-2 entering today.
No.
Yeah, it's 8 right now, and he allowed 6 runs today.
He's only allowed
7 runs all year, and he allowed 6 today.
Okay. Then keep going to him. That's fine. We'll see how that ends up.
I might be wrong. I agree with you. But that is sort of my point. Is like there are good things happening that you just refuse to acknowledge.
What I said about the Twins is I thought this is my opinion, and it wasn't even it was negative. I feel they did absolutely nothing to improve their team, and we'll see at the end who's right, and I could be wrong. There, that's not negative.
No, and that's fine. That is actually not.
Their lineup is awful.
The things I'm talking about is right now they are over 500 in first place and have had a very tough schedule to start the year, and you refuse to acknowledge that's a good start to the year.
I don't think they had a tough schedule to start, but we can debate that.
They played the Yankees and Houston and Chicago, who you thought was going to win the division. Miami's actually over 500 if you were paying attention.
Yeah, that trade.
Boston's 500.
That trade makes me really mad, but it's fine. Not as mad as the Timberwolves one, who you guys won't give me credit. I told you what would happen the day they traded that.
We all said that. We all said probably might not work.
Hold on. Dad is completely factually wrong about the D'Angelo Russell Mike Conley trade.
I thought he was talking about Gobert.
That is a unanimous decision.
How am I factually wrong?
Think about the Russell thing.
Unanimously thought of that Timberwolves won that trade, and it is clearly showing right now with Conley's performance in the playoffs. You look at D'Lo, he was awful for us.
But you're not listening. That wasn't what I said.
The Lakers.
Exactly. He can't even get off the bench.
Okay, timeout. That's not what I said. I didn't say Lakers were going to win anything. What I said the day of the trade.
You did.
Can I finish? I'll tell you exactly what I said, and then you'll go, yeah, that's what you said. The day of the trade, I said the Timberwolves just gave the Lakers a playoff spot. In fact, they gave them their playoff spot, and without that trade, the Lakers don't even make the playoffs, and they're going to be ahead of us. That's all I said. I didn't say where the Lakers
would
finish.
I don't think.
No, you also said that. You also said D'Angelo Russell is way better than Mike Conley, and we shouldn't have traded him.
I think he is. Oh, I still stand by that.
I don't know how you can stand by that.
Because we don't know what Russell would have done on the Timberwolves.
We know what he would have done. He would have shot 2 for 15 from three-pointer. He would have taken all the shots away from our best players, and he wouldn't have run the offense.
No,
you look at our offense.
I'm not even trying to be funny. That is maybe in my 28 or so years of knowing you, perhaps the craziest thing I've ever heard you say.
You understand the Timberwolves record, right?
No. Let me finish. The fact that you just said, it goes so counter to every stance you've ever had on sports. The fact that you just said D'Angelo, we don't know what D'Angelo Russell could have been with the Timberwolves when we had him for 2.5
in
years,
the playoffs.
Including we went to the playoffs last year. Look what it got us. They had to bench him. They had
to
bench him.
Something to me. Explains what when we made that trade, we were like the sixth seed, right?
I don't remember where we were.
Okay, you
but
don't.
But it was
you know,
all within like a game or two. Like
doesn't
I don't
matter.
Like,
we ended up in the play-in game after the trade. That means the trade went south for us.
We literally had the same record with him and without him. We were a 500 team with
him.
In addition, we also got a couple of draft picks and a depth piece.
In addition, we were without our probably second best player the entire for 60.
It's been an incredibly disappointing.
We got that guy back, and
within the week we will be able to go post-mortem on it. But the fact you just said we don't know what D'Angelo Russell could have been as a Timberwolf is actually crazy.
If you actually watch them play basketball and their offense, they have so much more ball movement with Conley and Russell. They actually cut without the ball. They actually run an offense. They are so much more better and efficient without Russell, and it is insane.
Okay, forget the Russell thing. Where we'd be? My point.
You were talking about the Gobert trade, which at the time we all were like,
"Listen,
we went
talking about that. That's over with."
I thought that's what you were talking about because I didn't even consider the Russell.
I said the second we traded him, it was more. They gave the Lakers a playoff spot. The Lakers would not have been in the playoffs without that trade because they got
absolutely would have.
That's a
no,
lot.
No, they would have. They got those.
They would have.
They didn't make the playoffs because of D'Angelo Russell.
No,
they made
them
the
because of the other guy.
They did not make the playoffs because of Malik
and
Beasley
Davis
either.
Got healthy.
They made him, and they got Beasley and whatever that dude.
Beasley barely played for him.
Doesn't matter. They played in the regular season, and everyone.
But
by the way,
he didn't.
If you listen
really
to
didn't.
The
Malik Beasley played like 15 minutes a game.
If you listen to the experts, they're all touting their trade for the reason they made the playoffs.
No, because Lakers. The Lakers knew and the media talked good about
them. They also traded for Hachimura. They traded for like 15 guys. They
By the way,
and they got healthy. And the Lakers would have surpassed the Thunder no matter what. They likely would have surpassed us no matter what. We had no players and they had LeBron.
And also, the trade also took the Jazz out of the playoffs. So there's always going to be a trade-off, obviously.
Well, it didn't help us at all. It didn't help the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves because our issues are not. No. Our issues are not. Conley is better than Russell if the rest of the team could get themselves together.
Okay.
We all agree, and I think we all agree, the issues with the Wolves are not the point guard position can and a guy like Russell or Conley, who's your hypothetically fourth best player or fourth option, if you will, fourth most important player in terms of salary and everything like that. That can only get you so far. It's the other three guys who have to be healthy, who have to play well together, who have to show up in big games. And it's the guy coaching and in charge. On a team like the Lakers, those two guys, those whatever, it's LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's a little different than a 21-year-old Anthony Edwards and a hurt guy and Towns who doesn't show up in big games, missed 50 games. I agree, but that's the problem. The problem isn't Conley can only elevate a team so much. He gives you a higher floor.
Yeah,
he gives you a higher floor. But at the end of the day, I agreed with you that trade wouldn't necessarily make us a title contender.
I didn't.
It should have probably. It made us a little bit better, I think. But at the end of the day, if Towns doesn't show up, he just he has these clunkers. I mean, if you go back, sorry, and then I'll done with my rant, because the Timberwolves are as simple as this. If Towns shows up and Towns plays well, they win, because he's constantly involved. He's constantly playing as he should. He's a focal point of the offense. If he plays well, they're good. If he doesn't, they're bad. And it is genuinely that simple with the Timberwolves. And part of that is because he does not know how, when he's not playing well, to be a secondary player. He's not tough enough down low on the boards. He's not good enough defensively. Whereas a guy like LeBron or Anthony Davis, if we want to keep the Lakers discussion going, like, those guys can elevate their teammates and they can be better at other things. Towns can't. It's just the reality of him as a player. Davis will still go out there and get you 15 boards and 5 blocks. LeBron is still perhaps one of the best 3 or 5 passers in the whole league as a 36-year-old 6'8 forward. It doesn't matter if they're scoring or not. They can do other things. Towns cannot. So if Towns' offense is there, it's been true since he came back from injury. They win. If it's not, they lose. It is just genuine. It happened last night in the course of one game. He was awful, and he got a little bit better in the third quarter. They made that huge run to get back, and then he sucked in the fourth, and they lost. It's genuinely that simple.
Then I didn't make my point clear. My point was not more about what the Timberwolves were going to do with or without him. It was that we handed the Lakers a playoff spot. In my opinion, they don't make the playoffs. Okay. The Lakers were so far out of the playoffs before that trade.
If you can genuinely and by the way, the Lakers will be elevated them, I just disagree.
And all of a sudden done, the Lakers and Timberwolves will be out of the playoffs after the same round. It doesn't matter.
I'm not disputing that. I never said the Lakers were winning the title because of the trade.
And I honestly would rather play the Nuggets than the Grizzlies. So
I'm not all of that. It doesn't matter. The Lakers wouldn't have been in the playoffs is my point. That's all I ever said. That they were going to win the title.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that, but
Well, you can listen. That's exactly. I made it very clear what I was saying. They would not be in the playoffs.
No, we're agreeing to disagree on that idea.
Well, it's a fact.
I think they still would have gotten into the playoffs.
It happened. I was right. I mean, okay.
Well, yeah, but I can't go back and change the future and say, well, I could easily have just said like, well, it would have happened if they didn't trade him. Like,
but factually happened, I guess is my point. But okay.
But my point is, I don't think it was the trade that made it happen.
Big coincidence.
So if you want to just say, like, because the trade happened and they made the playoffs, that has to be the reason, fine.
The big
I think they would have made it in anyways. That's all I'm saying.
I think
to Sam's point, they made other moves that would have gotten them there anyways.
They really didn't, though. But okay, that's fair.
Anyways, if we want to transfer to the playoff talk, if the Timberwolves, if they weren't so if McDaniels wasn't so stupid, and, I mean, if Nas Reed's whatever, his team wasn't as stupid to break his hand. But if we have a fully healthy McDaniels playing this series, I generally think we win at least 2 games. He guards Michael Porter Jr., and he's not letting him cut wide open threes. He can guard Murray and not let him get 40. We win yesterday's game for sure.
I mean, we split with them in the regular season. There's no reason to think that with a full – and that was with, again, Cat, double-edged sword. If he's there, he will win you a game.
Because if you actually dissect this series, we've defended Jokic. Gobert has been fantastic on Jokic. While he gets...
Go ahead. I was about to sidetrack on something else. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that if you actually look at the game, we're defending Jokic very well. I mean, he's scored about 25. I mean, he's the MVP. If we limit Jokic to 25, 7, and 7, that's a very good job by Gobert. As considering the refs give him every single call, but that's another
travels all the time
tangent we can go on. But we played that, and then Murray and MPJ are the ones who are beating us, and who would have covered them? McDaniels. I mean, the first game's whatever, we got blown up, but game two we win easily, and then we take it home, and we would have won at least one there, probably two. So
yeah, I mean we have no chance with them in the regular. We split in the regular season without Cat. Cat would have won us a game, I think, almost on his own. He has that ability. The fact is, it just isn't there enough in big games. My thing about, we'll do a whole postmortem on the Timberwolves and everything, but like for long stretches and in the first game specifically, they didn't have Gobert guarding Jokic, which was so weird. And I get why the idea was, if you put him on a non-shooter, he can kind of lurk and rim defend and double and all that. I get it. But at some point when it's not working, you got to go to it. And to your point, they did in the second half of game 2, and they found something there. So we'll see if they adapt. And that third quarter shows we have the talent to play with them. Now, they're not going to
always third quarter the and the game against the Thunder and the first three quarters against the Lakers show that for some reason, I don't know what Finch was doing all year, but I mean, maybe it's now because we're all fully healthy. Sent in the Lakers game through, I mean, game two of the Denver, when we, it shows when we actually are playing well, we have some of the best ball movement, the best off ball cutting, like the best offense, honestly, top five in the league, actually offense.
Now, are we still talking about the Timberwolves?
If you actually watch the games, they move without the ball very well when they're at their best, like that third quarter, but then it turns in the fourth quarter. And we just have horrible one-on-one play. There's not consistent at all. And we've said this before, but I don't know if it's with Finch clicking or just we're so inexperienced with 21-year-old Anthony Edwards. Cat is horrible. I mean, down the stretch, it makes no sense how this team can't be consistently good.
It really is. Like, it's why I've been saying, like, I genuinely think with the right team, Chris Finch is probably a pretty good basketball coach. It's just not this team, and that's fine. Like, he can't get this team to play the way he wants to play, and when they do, for small stretches, like Sam just said, like, it's really good. But the problem is, if you don't have that connection where your roster will play the way you want them to play, this team clearly needs structure. They need plays. They need to be more or less told in many cases what to do, or they devolve into this just ISO waste 14 seconds and then try and get a shot off. Like, there are teams that could play consistently in a way where they move the ball well and they move themselves. It's just not this one. And that's the reality. And that's something they'll have to reckon with in the offseason. I mean, I think, like, this season's going to be weird to look back on, and we'll do it soon because this isn't lasting much longer, because you had to integrate Gobert. He was kind of hurt a little bit throughout the year. Cat misses 50 plus games. Ant's clearly playing through something. The guy's wearing sleeves now. He hasn't worn sleeves all year. McDaniels breaks his hand. Nas breaks his wrist. Like, you do it. You make a trade halfway through the year. Like, at some point, like, you're going to look back on the season and be like, what do you even make of it other than just like chalk it up to another sort of disappointing Wolves season? But this year, it wasn't necessarily lack of talent or even lack of quality. It was just a mixture of no consistency in every way, shape, and form. But we'll get to that more. I do think they'll win one or two when by the time the series is all said and done. But I just think, like you said, Sam, without McDaniels and Reed, they're just too thin. They're playing an 8-man rotation, and that eighth guy is either McLaughlin or Noel.
Well,
and they can only
we
play
found
like
out
seven
in game two, McLaughlin's career might be over in the NBA, which would be nice.
That's true. It might not be him anymore. So I don't even, like, the second they both those guys got hurt, I mean, they literally played eight guys last night, and Noel played 16 minutes.
I mean, doesn't
Prince
it ever
played 18? I mean,
doesn't it ever get old with the Timberwolves that we have to say wait till next year? I mean, at what point do we not wait till next year? Now, that's not being negative. That's a question. It's getting old, I think. Maybe not.
I mean, 31 teams every year, hey, say, for next year.
Well, you know, Dad, we've come along. When I asked myself that question,
this is the first back-to-back playoff season Sam's seen in his life.
Oh, it's totally cares.
I always think about when I was in high school and middle school, and Drew and I and you would watch Timberwolves games on the TV, we've come a long way. From Alexei Shved, J.J. Barea, Andre Kirilenko, Nikolai Pekovic, and sometimes Kevin Love in the starting five.
Well, yeah, with the one American, true.
But this is
kind
of
a long way.
What I
have we?
I can appreciate
if it takes 20 years to get an All-Star or to get a couple All-Stars in the lineup, then maybe in 20 years we'll get a championship.
They only last four more games than those teams. I mean,
but this is my exact point about why I say you're negative. Before those four games or six games or whatever, there was 82 games that they won 44 or whatever it was.
Yeah. See, okay, that's fair.
Versus, to Sam's point, those rosters won like 17, and then they went and they drafted guys who never made it to the league. Like, I get it sucks, and I get you want to win a championship, but at some point, only one team does every year, and there's 82 games besides that, and there's things to look forward to. And there was a stretch there where there was literally nothing to look forward to. You celebrated every single win because there were so few and far between at the Timberwolves. Okay. Now, that's it should be better, for sure, and I am not debating that. But at some point, you have to think, like, the steps forward are being made, and this may have been half a step back if this Gobert thing doesn't work out, but at least they went for it. You know, for forever, it was like, oh, we have a good player. Bye. We'll trade you. We don't want, like, we'll start over again. At least they tried.
Well, so that's
sometimes not hard enough, but that's neither here nor there.
So that's maybe where we differ, because
it is where we differ. That's what I've been trying to
do. The regular season, I think that was a good example. To me, the regular season, whatever. I mean, who cares about the regular season? If it's just about entertainment, that's fine.
It is about, that's exactly what sports is. It's entertainment. It's a couple hours a night to sit and watch and have fun and enjoy your team. That's exactly what it is. My life will not change when we win a championship in any sport.
Oh, yeah, it will.
I will be excited.
Yep. No, it'll change. I just completely disagree with you. It'll change.
What will change?
It'll absolutely change.
In what way?
You've experienced two of them.
I mean.
Yeah. And the place went crazy. The town went crazy. The games were way more fun. You had some pride. You can say you're a champion. No, it's completely different when they win one.
Of course.
You know, so you
after a week or two, it's like, okay, I just go back to who's the next team? Because watch for one moment. I watch for a whole season across four sports.
For the third year in a row, the Wild had their best season ever, and they end up not even having home field advantage.
They didn't even sniff their best season ever this year. I don't know.
Well, they were in the top. Well, they were fairly close. I mean, they got over 100 points. I'm just saying it's
over 100 points a lot. But and whatever. Honestly, though, you bring up a good point, though, actually.
Thank you. I appreciate
I don't know if you
that.
Meant to bring up this point. But
no, I meant everything I say.
The earphones are ringing. Or is that you're listening to our show already?
No, I want to bring up
a good point in the sense of, like, we are so harsh, and in many ways deservingly so, on the Timberwolves. As a market, we are so harsh on the Timberwolves because they were so bad for so long. And the fact that they're sniffing relevancy, we crave it. Meanwhile, across the river, the Wild are consistently good and have lost seven straight first-round playoff series. Now, they get some crap for that, don't get me wrong. But it's like, if the Wild lose a game in January, everyone's like, it's okay. If the Timberwolves lose a game and choke a game away in January, the whole place burns down. It is a weird, like, probably unfair view we have of those two teams. And one's probably just because it's hockey in Minnesota, and the other's because the basketball team's been so bad for so long. Like, I think if you look at those two teams the last 5 to 7 years, like, you should probably be happier, and as crazy as I say, with the Timberwolves' trajectory, even though the last 2 years have maybe not quite been what you think. That's been the Wild postseason for 7-8 straight years, whatever it's been.
You're 80% right. The problem with the Timberwolves, the Wild are just as much of a failure as anybody. Totally right. However, the Timberwolves is so dysfunctional.
That's part of the reason.
It's hard. The Timberwolves' dysfunction is so crazy that it's hard to even enjoy them as a team. The Wild at least go about their business and then disappoint us like the dogs they are.
But someone with your view of sports should be much angrier at the Wild than the Timberwolves.
I'm equally as. Do you hear me say anything good about the Wild?
No, you don't say anything good about anybody. That's the original point we talked about.
Because the teams here suck. Yeah.
And
I mean, look what we've got. We haven't sniffed anything lately. The Wild, how many years in a row are they bounced in the first round of the playoffs, including this one?
What I want to say is what we've already argued. I let's talk about the Wild. We have about
I'll be just as harsh. Don't worry.
How about 7 minutes?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, you talked about your car for like 15.
I didn't. You asked me.
I asked. You talked.
Oh.
That's how these things work.
Do people know that we're on WFNU 94.1 LP Frogtown Community Radio, do you think?
They do now. You're too distracted about your car to tell everybody at the beginning.
Well, I'm having issues. Sorry. Thought I'd share.
Can you get that channel in the car?
I don't know. I don't know how to turn AM on. By the way, do you know they're getting rid of AM radio in cars?
I did, actually. Yeah.
I heard that today. I don't know how to.
Is that the one place they should keep it?
Yeah.
I have satellite on. I don't know how to turn the AM radio on right now. That's my goal for tomorrow. Go ahead.
That's pretty funny. I did know here they're getting ruined. So, quickly on the Wild, they are 1-1. They come home. As people like to say, the cliche is they quote unquote stole home ice advantage because now if they win all their home games, they win the series. Game one, double overtime. It literally ended at 2 a.m. on the dot. I looked at the clock, East Coast time, because for some reason the Wild and the Timberwolves and their counterparts in these series are the last games to play. They have matching 9:30 p.m. Eastern start times tomorrow. That'll be fun.
I don't know why. Yeah, the games are here and they still have to be that late. That's pretty crazy.
It's so ridiculous. There's a game out here. The Islanders game yesterday started at like 6:30. It was so stupid. Whatever. I've yelled about this to so many people. I don't have the energy almost, but it's exhausting. It's physically exhausting, actually, because I actually watch the games.
When it takes up 1-0, go ahead.
The West is weird. I think I would be shocked if Vegas doesn't come back and win that game. Colorado doesn't totally do it for me this year for whatever reason, but neither here nor there.
On the road again.
Yeah, so. That's true. Anyway, so the Wild win the double overtime thriller. Ryan Hartman on literally one leg to the point he couldn't play in game two gets that winner. They come out, they start Fleury in game two. I think I can explain why. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I see where it probably came from. I wouldn't have done it, but they don't really they didn't lay an egg for a period and a half. I mean, they got it to within one goal, and then Fleury lets a couple in that he probably would like to have back. I know the one was a breakaway, but I don't know what he was trying to do, and then that was sort of backbreaking. And then I get the sense, before we talk about the games themselves, that it was probably a good idea to send Ryan Suter to Dallas. They don't all seem to like each other very much.
No, he clearly does not like the Wild. We kind of know what happened. He loves Minnesota. We know that. But he hates the organization,
it's weird. It's pretty clear he doesn't have a lot of friends left on that team.
Yeah, it's weird because we gave him like $50 million and we're still paying him multi-million dollars. I don't know why he would hate us. Yeah, but it's clear. When you intentionally cross check another team's best player, and I'm pretty sure they were teammates, right? Yeah. Or did they not overlap? I think they might have been teammates for a year or two. And it's clear that when you're cross checking this guy in the middle, in front of the net, and ripping the assistant captain's helmet off, clearly
Foligno looks like he wants to murder him. Foligno looks. They must have like legitimate like bad blood. Those two.
Yes, I think Suter will took his bean within 5 seconds of Suter's first shift and on home ice.
It is I think if nothing else, I think this series has been proof that it was probably best he left, because if this is how they're all acting now, I don't think there was probably positive things behind that locker room door.
Well, all the rumors you hear about Suter being a bad locker room guy are kind of coming true.
Yeah.
Seems like
Which is sad, because he's the one I would have liked to keep, but I get it. So let's talk about some of the game two stuff. Hartman sits out, which with Sundqvist back healthy and ready to play, I think is not a bad idea. Get him healthy and good for the rest of the series, hopefully. Or maybe he's like legitimately hurt. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. Ek is skating, but not slotted in. I genuinely think if they would have lost game one, Ek, maybe even Hartman, and probably Klingberg would have played in game two. I think Evason looked at game one as they kind of stole one on the road. And I don't love that this is the attitude they took in game two, but I feel like they sort of punted a little bit, which, again, it's a 7-game series. You got two coming up at home. You need to win. So I get it, but I don't love it as a decision.
I have a very hot take, and that is, and it's some of its similar reasoning why Drew thinks this way, but if the way game one went, and if that was going to be our lineup in game two with Ek out and Hartman out and Klingberg out, we have zero chance of winning that game, even if Gustavsson plays. Absolutely zero chance.
No, the defense.
And so I completely agree with starting Fleury only if those three guys are playing game three at home. Because if they're not playing game three at home, then that means, all right, we needed to win game two, try to our hardest to win game two and put in Gustavsson and have him continue the momentum. But considering Gustavsson played 90 minutes and those three guys are out, we had zero chance of winning game two, especially Dallas is going to give everything they can to win game two. I agree with starting Fleury, and I don't think Fleury should start again for the rest of the series.
No, and I think I actually totally agree in the sense of I assume that that's why they did it. And I think with Gus, you also have to remember, like, that game one was his NHL playoff debut. Like, he's still an incredibly young goalie without a lot of experience. There's also an element of sort of protecting him in the sense of you don't want to send him out there with a Swiss cheese lineup that's missing guys purposefully or not, and you know they're going to be tired, and to your point, that you know Dallas is going to bring it because they have to win that game. So why are you going to put him out there and just sick the dogs on him? Fleury's seen everything. He'll be fine. He wasn't good, but he'll be fine mentally. Who knows if Gus would or wouldn't be. Now, maybe he saves a couple goals extra that, you know, he goes out there, the quote-unquote advanced expected goals that Fleury let up were about four, and we lost by four, meaning if those are saved as expected, it's a tie game. Who knows? But I think that's probably not, you know, it's obviously not an exact science. So I get it. I do get it. But like you said, it has to be with the purpose of going full strength at game three, which I hope we'll see. And I just, you know, and the reality is, like, you should be able to trust Fleury in those scenarios. And the unfortunate reality is he probably just doesn't really have it anymore. And that's okay. Yep. He's late in his career. He's still a serviceable regular season backup until Wallstedt's ready. And he's a good mentor for Gus, Wallstedt, just guys on the team. He's good to have around, but it's clear that was the game to play him, to get him a little run in the playoffs, to see in case you needed him, because Gustavsson, lack of experience, caught up to him, whatever. Then you can go to Fleury. You want him to have some game time under his belt. But if that's what he's going to give you, you just got to ride, no pun intended, ride the Gus bus until it all falls apart.
Yeah. I mean, and then we can let Dad go quickly, but I'm sure you're just going to talk about negative the team is.
Well, Dad doesn't want Dad's asleep at the time.
Not giving any real commentary.
I think Dad's asleep.
But assuming Eck and I mean, I think Eck will be back for sure because he was traveling, and Hartman somehow continued playing at game one. I'm assuming he'll be back too. But assuming those guys are back, I mean, as long as we stay off. Like, if we just say have a clean game and don't give up that many penalties, that's what we're going to lose, is giving up penalties to Dallas. Their power play has absolutely dominated us. And part of the reason, too, is our penalty killers are always tired, too, because we're giving up so many penalties. But if we just play a clean game, I mean, limited just to one or two penalties a game, we're actually going to dominate this series, especially when Hartman and I come back, and Klingberg, too, because he's big for our power play as well. But, I mean, I don't think the series would be close if we would just have a clean game, which is tough to do when we're such a physical team, which is weird to say because we usually aren't.
Well, and Evason kind of alluded to it in his last press conference. Dallas dives a lot, too. They actually have called for it in game one. But I think Eck is as important to that power play as Klingberg is. I mean, Klingberg quarterbacks it, but Eck is the guy that, you know, caused all that traffic in front of the net that opens up space for other guys. So it's going to be crucially important to get them back. So they play Friday, Sunday, Tuesday. So the earliest they could be eliminated is Tuesday. So we'll probably talk at least once more about them before they may be done. The Timberwolves could probably very well be done by the time we talk next. I do want to discuss one baseball thing. Dad, for you.
I'm a baseball
one
expert.
Minute. Yep, 1 minute. If I would have told you the White Sox fired Tony La Russa and are actually worse than they were last year, would you have believed me?
Well, they hired a guy that no one's ever heard of. But stay tuned for Connor's Corner if you're on WFNU 94.1 FM, Frogtown Community Radio. His show is starting now. Have faith in
you won't hold on. Oh, no.